On Point, hosted by Peter Van Aartrijk. Conversations with interesting and informative experts on technology, branding, culture, social media marketing, and other great topics.
Hello again, everybody. Thank you for joining our On Point podcast brought to you by our friends at Insurance Journal. And we're talking with Nick Ayers. Welcome, Nick, to the show, as we call it.
Hey, Peter. How are you? How are you guys doing today?
Doing great. Nick, I don't want to presume to know everything about your background, but I do know you are a younger/youngish agency owner out in beautiful California. For those that can check this out while they're listening, it's I-80, as in Interstate 80, insurance.com, I-80, insurance.com. Nick, tell us, if you can start out, we've got a lot to talk about here, but could you explain a little bit how you founded this with Shane, and you know, what is the whole purpose of this firm? Like, what were you thinking of when you created this, and where is it going these days?
Sure. So I'll kind of maybe paint a picture that is maybe a little similar to a lot of other people who maybe left the captive world and jumped into the independent space. So I was fired from a large national insurance captive, you know, captive insurance company, was fired as their number one producer. I was working in the town of Napa, and was fired from there because I would not conform to their 100-plus-year-old methodology when it came to marketing, and in this case, social media marketing. I kind of called their bluff as their number one agent, and they said, you know, you have to leave. I didn't believe that my license meant that I can only market in my town or territory, so to speak. I was trying to do business all over the state of California. And they said, well, you know, here's the door. And so I remember driving home from that occasion, that situation, and I remember thinking to myself, I will never work for anybody else as long as I live. At that point, I had been in the insurance space for about 7 years. All pretty much with the captive, in the captive world. And, was just, you know, did not want to necessarily conform to the traditional methods that a lot of these companies still operate with today, as far as controlling, their people and the message that gets out. I understand the thought process behind it, but I just said, you know what? I want to be on Facebook. I want to be online. I want to create digital content. And, some of these companies, I jokingly say, were created 100 years ago, and I think the same people are still in charge. It's just the way that it thought, and I didn't want to do that. So it went beyond that. It took about a year. If anybody's ever tried to start a business in California, you probably are aware of some of the challenges that can that you could, you know, face in dealing with different entities. So it took about a year. We started the agency from scratch with nothing, in a little 900-square-foot office above a restaurant in 2013, February 1st, 2013. And the whole mission and the whole kind of thought behind it, there's been some stuff that stayed with us, but a lot of it was just things that we went into it thinking it would be, or thinking that we would do a certain way. Now we do a little different, and that comes with trial and error. But the message is that we wanted to create a place where our clients, where we can help our clients, you know, win financially. You know, my theory is that I am the defensive coordinator for a family. You have your financial advisors. You have those who are the offensive coordinator. I've always believed that my role is best served when I can help families and individuals play defense with their money. And I tell people, I'm not necessarily a person who, quote unquote, loves insurance. I just see it as the vehicle that helps me do what I really do like to do, which is help people win financially. And so that's kind of how that all started and where we're at today. So it's been a fun ride. It's been an exciting ride, and it continues to get better and better each and every day. So I'm fortunate for the position that we're in.
Okay. So I didn't know that about your background. That's pretty interesting. Thanks for sharing that story. Nobody likes to get fired, but a lot of people don't like working for the man either. So now you're the man.
It was the best day of my life, Peter. It was the best day of my life.
Now you're the man, Nick.
I just didn't know it at the time, right? Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So why the name I-80?
That's a funny story. So again, if you've ever tried to name an insurance agency in the state of California, they're pretty strict. And so we found in dealing with the DOI, number one, the process is unique in that you have to, I don't know if it's still this way, but it was in 2013. We had to take a form, we had to handwrite four or five names that we liked, and we had to fax it into the DOI. And then we had to wait a few days for them to say yes or no. So imagine, the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain, and you're wondering what is going on here. That is exactly how it felt. So we went through, and I'm not exaggerating on this, we went through at least 50 names. And it was one of the longest processes because, again, you have to wait days each time you submit a form. So we went through about 50 names before we settled on I-80. The rule is it can't be a name in existence. Fair enough. It can't be the name that's ever really, it can't be anything that has ever existed. Okay, it's a little tighter. But then where they got us is that it couldn't be anything that sounded like anybody else. So I'll give you an example. One of the names that we wanted to come up with, or one of the names on the list was Maximized Insurance Solutions. You start going down the list of, you start to get to name 40, you're starting to run out of creative options. So we maximized insurance solutions. The DOI told us no because it sounded too much like Maximum Insurance Solutions, which existed. And so, back to the drawing board. I-80 is a iconic freeway. This is our spin. So I can't tell you that this is truthfully how we felt at the time, but I-80, Interstate 80 is a very iconic freeway that's here in California. Runs, and our office just happens to be right off of the freeway. And so we put in I-80, and it got accepted. And we said, "That's it. That's done. We're not doing this game anymore. We're just rolling with this." And it worked. And we've made it work.
Okay. That's a way better answer than I was expecting. I really didn't know what to expect about the name, but I didn't know.
I'd love to sit here and say it was this creative masterpiece that we came up with, and we just felt like geniuses, but really
Oh,
it was a process of elimination.
man. Oh, I'm sure the listeners in California can so relate to anything to do with DOI, things like this.
Yeah.
But not to beat up on them, it's just the process.
No,
It's just,
God bless them.
but I know, but somehow looking at your website and certainly your brand identity, your logo and stuff, it seems to work for the speed at which you guys like to work and write business and market and so on. There's not a lot of there's no moss gathering under your feet, Nick, because I see you posting constantly. You might be the epitome. Maybe Aaron Nutting is another one, but epitome of like the personal brand as the owner. A lot of agency owners don't like, they're not comfortable doing this. Granted, part of that's generational, but you don't seem to have any fear about showing your life. I love some of the videos. If, for those that are listening, you got to see some of Nick's videos, but like eating a burger at Sonic. Was it Sonic or was it
In-N-Out.
In-N-Out Burger, even better.
Yes.
It's really quite astonishing how you guys have tied food to insurance.
It's the silliest things, I tell you. I mean, I made that video. The video that you're referencing is my email video signature. If I write you an email, or even if you send me an email, you're going to get an autoresponder with my video signature on there. And I simply say, look, written, stale, cold email signatures are boring. I just think this is better. And it's a video that's about 30 seconds long, and I go around to a few different places in my town, and just, again, just trying to highlight some personality. And the thing about it is and you have to find what works for you. Like, I tell people, I'm weird, I'm naturally quirky, I'm kind of an idiot in real life. And I own up to that. Like, that's me. I have no fear of that. And so, but you have to do what works for you. And so, yeah, I go to In-N-Out and I try to see how big of a hamburger I can eat, how much food I can put in my mouth at one time. Again, I'm an idiot. You don't, but that works for me. Yeah, so it's the
Right.
weirdest thing.
Yeah. The other thing, if you could touch on, would be your philosophy about customer testimonials. I think some people kind of, they're kind of hard to find. If you can find them at all on an agency site, they're a little bit, they're either words or they're kind of hard to find. You guys have a different approach.
Yeah, I mean, again, so we're selling a really intangible product here, right? It's a product that you hope that you never have to use. It's an experience you don't particularly like to go through. I mean, who wakes up in the morning and says, you know what? This is a fantastic day. I think I want to go shop for insurance. Like, nobody thinks those thoughts. So you have to make the experience overall something that people want to be a part of. And so for us, we've carried that into really our marketing approach. I am going to highlight as much as I can customer experience. So if you go to our website, you're going to see testimonials. We're adamant about asking every person for a testimonial. We do it in our automation sequences. We do it on new business. We do it all the time. And the other thing I want to experience, I want people to show is what happens when you become a new customer or what the customer experience is. So if you go to our front page, you'll see testimonials. You'll see some integrations that we have built out with some different third-party companies that take particular hashtags from social media, and they put it on our front page of the website. I want that front and center. Again, you know, we've done a really good job making insurance a commodity. We've done a really good job as far as making insurance something that is just bought and sold, but we haven't done a very good job, and that, because that's the lowest hanging fruit, right? That's the path of least resistance for a lot of people, but we haven't done a very good job as an industry, as individuals. We haven't done a very good job when it comes to showing why people should do business with us. We know how to get them in the door, but we don't show why they should stay in the door, why they should stay in the room. And so for us, we've made that a huge point of emphasis to always showcase the customer experience. Now, it's a two-edged sword because somebody can get on there and say, you guys stink. You know, you guys are the worst. And, you know, so it's a two-edged sword. So that, for me, I like the challenge. I like the accountability. I like the opportunity to say, okay, we are going to do the best job. We're going to do the best job we possibly can in every situation, from quoting to endorsements to the claims process. You know, we want people that when they say that they're a customer of ID Insurance, that they, you know, there's a sense of pride because, you know, we've done such a great job for them, and they're happy, and they're proud to put our apparel on. They're happy to put our logo on their hat or their shirt or wherever. And, you know, for us, it's an opportunity.
Okay. Could you mention real quick how you get the testimonials accomplished, anything in terms of filming or software to get them front and center on the site?
Yeah, so for front and center on the site, actually, I'd love to tell you that that's a really awesome process, but those ones that are on the site, those are handmade by me. And so what I've done, we send out and we ask for reviews every day. So let's say, Peter, you become a client of IAD Insurance. You bring your auto and your home insurance to us. You are going to get a couple things. Number one, you're going to get an email that says, hey, Peter, welcome to the family, and this has a very automated look, and this is design-centric. It's got a video. It's got an opportunity for you. It's got some text and some copy. Then it's got two pictures. It's a smiley face, a green smiley face, and a red sad face. And it just says, tell us about your experience. Tell us about the experience you had. And luckily, no one's clicked on the red face, but they've all clicked on the green face. And when they click on the green face, it automatically takes them to the page where they can leave a Google review. And I'm only interested in Google reviews. I don't care about Facebook reviews. They're nice. I don't care about Yelp reviews. They're nice. But those, to me, are just gravy. I care about building on Google. So if not everybody has a Gmail account, I understand that. I'm okay with losing the 20%, 25% of people who don't have that. I just want the Google review. So they click on the star. It takes them to the page where they just click on the star, and they can leave a description of their experience. And so if you go to our Google Reviews page now, you'll see, we collect those, and then they're pretty steady. And so I simply take those reviews, and then I make, in Photoshop, I just simply take their picture. If they have a profile picture on Google, and I take the stars, and then I just take verbatim what they said and copy and paste it and create a new what's called a PNG file, and then I upload that to my site. It's not an automated process. I think there are tools that make that automated. I happen to be kind of a cheapskate, so because of that nature, because of that fact, I don't purchase them because I can make it myself. I simply go that route, even though it's a little bit more work. If you don't have those skills, I would suggest that you find third-party software that could link those to your site. But that's our process.
Mm-hmm. And tell us about your blog and your philosophy there. It looks extremely personal and more on the light side as I scroll through some of these. Lots and lots of photos of real people as opposed to stock art.
Yeah, I mean, you should never use stock photography if you can help it at all costs. Number one, you run into some risk of if you didn't purchase the image, you can run into some risk there. But I try to use photos that we take, photos of our people if possible. And yes, our blogging strategy is we want to write some long form content that's keyword optimized. We want to optimize the images and the video that we put in there. I try to put a video in every single blog. Again, that's really just for some extra juice and some extra engagement. I mean, there's a number of stats and studies that show that videos on page lead to longer. They help you out organically. You know, people are going to stay on the page longer. They're going to engage more. You know, there's a number of studies that show that. So that's really why we do it. And yes, the content. Look. Okay. Nobody wants to read if they can avoid it. They don't want to read dry, boring content that is filled with insurance jargon and legalese. But what they really like is they like stories. People love stories. I mean, from the dawn of man until 2018, people love stories. So if I can write it with that perspective in mind and tell it in more of a storytelling format, I know that that's going to be something that people want to engage more with. If Google loves shorter content, I'd write a lot shorter content. But unfortunately, they don't really. And so that's why, I try to make my written blogs anywhere from 1,500 to 2,500 words. And I try to include as many images, some GIF files. I'm a huge GIF fan. I mean, I love the fact that Facebook put those out. I'm addicted, fighting for it. I love it. And then video. And so whatever I can do that keeps engagement up, keeps interest up, it's the same philosophy that I have when I make videos. Lots of changes, lots of movement, things that help the engagement level stay at a nice high level.
Yeah. So what I know you also do some talks to agent groups. What are some of the things you tell young agents or even older agencies in these meetings? Like what is your message beyond what we've already discussed here?
Well, I talk a lot about video. And so my background is I have roughly 20 plus years when it comes to both videography and graphic design. I've been doing it way longer than I've been doing insurance. It's been a great tool for our agency. So one thing I always tell people, look, I shoot on a green screen a lot of times. I have lights. I have a nice DSLR camera. I use the top-of-the-line editing equipment. I do all those things. But the only reason I do those things is because I like them and because I can do them. Now, to Mr. John, agency owner, or Jane, agency owner, the first thing you need to do is you just need to do something. Now, you don't have to create content that is just, it doesn't need to look like Michael Bay or J.J. Abrams directed this thing. But what you need to do is you need to create content that's real and that's authentic. I tell people your authenticity will always trump the polish that you're trying to do. When you look at videos online, when you look at videos whether on a vlog, whether you look on videos on Facebook, the ones that the common denominator that they all have, the ones that do well for the most part, is that they're all natural. They're all authentic. I don't do any scripting. I don't look to create the most fancy polished videos. I just want to create authentic content. And I think if you get beyond that barrier of saying I have to do this, I have to do that, and you just get your cell phone out, you turn it horizontal, you put it in selfie mode, and you just look at the camera and you talk and you show who you are as a person, right? You show what your value proposition is, and you keep it short, you keep it, something that people want to engage with, then I think that's where you need to begin. That's where you need to stay consistent. It's not about how great it looks. It doesn't matter what the lighting is. I mean, the only thing I tell people, if you're gonna focus on anything, focus on the audio. I'd rather watch a crappy video with great audio than a great video with crappy audio. So, if you're gonna put any focus, put it on the audio, and just create authentic content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a revelation to a lot of agency folks who often, you know, for whatever reason, they tend to stand behind buildings and pictures of them in suit and tie or in groups where they're looking very professional.
Yeah.
I think sometimes when you run into agencies that are in big cities, they, if they're working with big companies, that may be a kind of a uniform they need to wear. But do you feel
right.
do you feel like this whole thing in terms of the independent agent channel sort of headed to more of a personal, more of a personal approach like you're describing?
You know, I think business in general is heading in that direction. I mean, you look at a lot of the, you know, you look at the Fortune 500 and you look at mugshots, you'll see a lot of the same thing. Look, when it comes to that, I tell people, look, be true to yourself. If you, my brand is not a brand where I sit in a shirt and tie behind a, you know, a hickory desk, you know, with many leather-bound books and rich mahogany. That's not my brand. That is some people's brand, and that is what they've built their foundation on. You've got to stay true to yourself. For me, wearing that kind of, I don't want to sound insulting, but being that kind of, being stiff like that, we'll just call it that, that's not going to fit me. I'm not going to be able to put out the authentic content that I want to put out. Look, people do business with me not because of the shirt and tie that I wear, and if they do, I'm not sure I want those people as customers. They're going to do business with me because I'm a professional. They're going to do business with me because I know what I'm talking about. They're going to do business with me because they know I have their best interests at heart. So if I stay true to myself, and like I said, you know, I'm wearing shorts and flip-flops and a fanny pack today. That's what my uniform is, and that's just because that's what I put on. I'm what you call it, lucky or unlucky. It's a different philosophy. I probably only see 5% of my clients. I mean, the rest of the people that I do business with up and down the state of California, we're doing it online, we're doing it over the phone. You know, we have technology that we lean on that helps us build those relationships. So, I'd like to say that that's kind of where business is going, kind of almost that relaxed approach.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had somebody who was on the East Coast said, you know, that stuff works in California, but it doesn't work out here. And I said, well, okay, you know, and I named off a few people who are really famous that every entrepreneur knows. I said, you know, these people are on the East Coast, and they don't dress like this. So I'd like to say that maybe that's kind of where things are going, because we're relying more on technology to establish relationships and to show trust and to build value, and not so much, and this is, again, preferential, whether it's good or bad, not so much, let me show up to your office, let me shake your hand, let me sit in front of your desk, talk about your wife's new hairstyle that I see in the photo, and let's talk shop or over a round of golf. That's not so much how business is done so much anymore. It's done with technology. And so I think people have a lot more luxury and a lot more flexibility to kind of be that way.
Nick, you have me a fanny pack. I'm going to have to ask you to explain that.
You know, I'll tell you where to begin. So I have two small children, and, you know, being in California, we're no strangers to Disneyland. And
mm-hmm.
my kids are at that age where Disney is life. And so I remember it was a couple years ago, we were going to Disneyland, and I just needed something to put my phone, my wallet, and my cell phone charger and keys in. And I didn't want to lug a backpack. And so I thought, you know what would work really, really well? A fanny pack. And I can tell you, Peter, beyond a shadow of a doubt, it was love at first sight. It was love at first zip. I mean, I unzipped that thing. I put my contents in there. I walked right through security. I took it off, put it back on, and, you know, eating a churro and some Dole Whip from Disneyland, it was the best experience I've ever had. I said, I'm wearing this sucker every single day.
So where does the fanny pack reside? Is it on your fanny? Is it on the side, in the front? Like, where do you wear your fanny pack?
So I wear it in the traditional fashion, you know.
Okay.
It's in the front. So, yes,
okay.
I know it's not technically on the fanny, but
right.
it's on the fanny pack. So, you know, I would recommend, you know, Peter, after this call, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send you a fanny pack.
Is it branded IED Insurance?
It's not. Because I wanted to get them, and then every one of my employees said they would revolt if I wore it. So
I think that would be outstanding. Are they making a comeback? Are they making a comeback to Fanny Pack?
You know, I tell people if I have to lead up the Fanny Pack Brigade, I'm a ready and willing soldier. And yeah, I think they're just the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Well, I'm either the listeners have hung up by now or they're just just enthralled with this conversation.
They're on
but
Amazon
I think
right
it does.
Now.
It does get to you weren't fired over the Fanny Pack, were you? Is that the real story?
No, it's like the Fanny Pack was found later in life. You know, it was like a sense of enlightenment. Yeah.
Okay, that might be a question our listeners might have. So there you have it, folks. Nick Ayers, IEDInsurance.com. Obviously not ashamed.
If you didn't learn anything, if you didn't learn anything today,
an
at least you
unabashed representative of the Independent Agent Channel. Nick, I look forward to seeing you on the circuit down the road. I think, people need to leave your conferences with the souvenir fanny pack. I mean, that talk about branding. I mean, here's a guy who just gets personal branding. I love it. Well, Nick, we got to go, but I can't thank you enough for your time and your sharing and your transparency and your authenticity, and all the best to you, my friend, in the insurance business.
Hey, Peter, thank you so much for having me. If anybody has any questions, you know, people, I'm open to people reaching out to me and saying, hey, Nick, I have a question on this, that, or the other. I need help here or there. I'm happy to do that as well.
Great. Thanks, Nick.